So much. For obvious reasons, this is not being recorded, right? And so if you want to come back in the afternoon, that's probably the only chance you get to hear the testimony. It's at 2 o'clock. In regard to North Korea and everything, we have a friend coming next week, and he's going to be with us for a week. I was with him for a week in North Korea a few months ago, and we saw his family. He's got three kids. He's been living inside for 12 years, and his kids looked like they needed a break. And so I asked him, hey, you guys like to come to Hong Kong? And obviously they jumped at the chance. And so they'll be here next week. And it's just really a time of rest and relaxation. If you have some free time or, you know, or want to do something with them, you know, by all means, please let me know. And we'll try to schedule something. He's going to meet with some people throughout the city during that time. In particular, on Monday, the 21st, Solomon's Porch, CSW, and Union Church are doing a joint event together where our friend will come and share his testimony and what he's been doing inside the country for the last 12 years. He's actually a Korean American who used to work in Silicon Valley and just literally left everything behind and went to go serve the Lord when really no one was there. And so a real pioneer, and he's meeting with some of our people. So just come let me know, and I'll make some arrangements for you. Again, my wife mentioned they're still looking for some housing during that week. And so if you have a house large enough for five people, maybe you're out of town or something, please come let us know, and you know, let's see what God does. In relation to that as well, before I welcome in Anil, I just got this sense in my spirit, right, that you know, as a church, that we're gonna do something significant in the country. Not that we're significant, but we really want to do something significant. And so, you know, a lot of times to do something significant, you need to have some money. Right, and I just believe that there are some people in here that God has put a heart inside of you for North Korea specifically, you know, and that you're going to give, and you're going to give a lot, right? And so I guess all I'm saying is do it, you know. You know, if God's stirring you, just do it, right? And let's see what God does through our little church. Amen? Amen? Come on, you guys are like half asleep. Come on, church, right? Let's wake up a little bit, especially as our friends can come up. This is Anil Stephan, and he is the leader, I guess, director of CSW. And so he's going to come and share with us the rest of our time. And then we're going to have a time of prayer, and we're going to pray specifically for three countries. So let's welcome up Anil.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you in this new sanctuary. I remember coming here to the Vines several years ago, and several times it was a dark and dingy place, and this is really nice. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that to be back to the Vine, but the atmosphere, the lights and everything, you know, it really lifts up this place, a wonderful place. It's a joy for me today to be with you and to share with you something that's on my heart. Today is a very special day. It's the International Day for the Persecuted Church. Once a year, the whole world sets aside this day to pray for the persecuted church. And you've just heard a testimony from Timothy, what he didn't mention to you was that he's been in jail 15 times. Both in China and in North Korea. When he went back, he was arrested and he was beaten up. Why? Simply because he believes in Jesus. And today, we want to remember those who suffer for the Lord. Who are these people? You know, they're not big names like we hear in the US or in the UK or Europe or anywhere else. They're not big names. They're just people, ordinary people, just like you and me. And all their crime is that they believe in Jesus. And so what happens to them because of that is that they are arrested, they're beaten up, they're put in jail. Some of these people, we don't know them at all. And yet they suffer for their faith. Timothy asked this question, you know, if you put up your hand today, you'd be in jail. I wonder how we would react. How we'd react to something like that. I was recently in Laos, and I met 22 Lao Christians. Some of them as young as 25 years old. They believed in Jesus 3-4 months ago, and because of that, they were thrown out of their village. They had to live in their rice paddy field. They're not allowed to come back to the village. They're isolated. So I asked them, you know, why do you believe in Jesus? They said, you know, we have found something. We were looking for something, and we have found something that we don't want to give up. And we're happy that we're going through this. God has allowed us this privilege to go through this, and we're very happy to do that. I want to share with you something that I've been thinking about this week. It's from the Gospel of John. It's about Jesus and what he went through. John gives a very unique perspective of the whole arrest and trial of Jesus. But it starts with chapter 12. The first 12 chapters talk about the ministry of Jesus. And suddenly from after chapter 13, the focus changes. It changes to the last few moments of Jesus, 12, 13, 14, 15, and then 16. From the 12th chapter, it's all wrapped into one short time. The disciples meet for the Last Supper, and Jesus talks about what's going to happen to him. And then in chapter 16, it talks about Jesus says in chapter 16, John, I'm telling you to keep these from being afraid. You will be chased out of the Jewish meeting places, and the time will come when people will kill you, and they think they're doing God a favor. They will do these things because they do not know either the Father or me. I am saying this to you now so that you will, when the time comes, you will remember what I have said. And then Jesus goes to chapter 17, where the first five verses he prays for himself, and then the next verses from 16 to 19 he prays for his disciples, and then the final chapter from 20 to 26 he prays for all the believers, that includes you and me. And then comes the dramatic chapter of John chapter 18. If you have a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 18. I'm reading from the American Standard Version, so it might be slightly different from the one you have, but anyway, it's pretty much the same. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth from with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden into which he himself entered and his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers and the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to him, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with him. When therefore he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, therefore, he said to them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the word might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom thou hast given me, I lost no one.'" Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. Jesus therefore said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I now drink it?" And so the Roman cohort and the commanders and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus, bound him, and led him to Annas the first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Let's just pray. Father, this morning we come before you, Lord, and I pray that you would just touch our hearts. Lord, you were beaten, you were abused by the Roman soldiers, by the religious authorities, and you did that just for us. And today, Lord, we want to, as we think about what happened to you, we ask you, Lord, that we will be sensitive as well to those of our brothers and sisters in different lands who suffer. So we commit this time, Lord, into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. John begins this chapter by saying that Jesus, after they had, if you look at the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have the Last Supper, and then they sing a song. They sing a hymn, a psalm, and then they go down to the Kidron Valley, to this garden. John is the only one who mentions that there is a garden. And so if you go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is up on a hill, and you have to walk down to this Garden of Gethsemane. It's quite a steep walk and quite a long distance. So Jesus often went there to pray. And so on this day, on this night, when he was after the supper, Jesus goes down to this valley, to this garden. And when he's there, he enters with his disciples. Verse 3, "And Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons." A cohort is 600 troops. They were battle-hardened Roman soldiers who were trained in the most cruel of cruel ways. So imagine, just to arrest one person, 600 people come. They come with torches, with lantern, torches, and weapons. That means they had their swords, they had their spears, and whatever else they had. So they come here, 600 of them, plus the Jewish priests, servants, and other people. So more than 600 people are coming to arrest just one man. Okay, given this, the time of that time was volatile because it was the feast of the Passover. There were many things happening, and the religious authorities wanted to be careful that there won't be a riot. So what they decide is to send 600 Roman soldiers along with the priests to arrest Jesus. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things, verse 4, that they were coming upon him, he went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" First of all, what Jesus does is that he reveals himself. Even before they come to arrest him, he goes and reveals himself and says, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then he makes a statement which is remarkable, which is just amazing. I was reading this morning, and it just completely blew me away. He says, "I am. I am." And look what happens. Verse 6, "And when therefore he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground." That is who we worship. That is the Jesus we worship. He is the one, the all-powerful. "I am." He says that, and they fall down. These Roman soldiers, battle-hardened, cruel men, completely fall down. That's whom we worship. That's who we serve. This morning, let's ask God to give us that same awe of who we worship. The same Jesus who we worship. Now, sometimes we forget that we worship an awesome God, an all-powerful God. He is true. He is true that He is our friend. He loves us and He died for us. But He is also God. "I am." And look at the reaction. Bang, they fell down on the ground. These Roman soldiers with their weapons, their lanterns, everything, fell back. The arrest of Jesus was both religious and political. They had to come together to make this happen. And many times I've seen around in Asia, this happens again and again and again. I just mentioned to you that I was in Laos last month actually. And when I met these 22 Christians, most of them are farmers. Some of them illiterate, they don't know anything. But yet they believe in Jesus. And some of them have been arrested because it's a collusion between the government and the religious authorities in the country. And so what they do is that they say that Christianity is a foreign religion. It's a religion that upsets our culture. It's a Western imperialist religion. We don't want this in our country. That's what the government says. And the religious leaders take that up and say that these Christians are distorting our whole culture and our religion. And so what they do is that they arrest Christians. I met this man who is who was jailed for more than a month. He is a pastor. He doesn't have much money. He's very poor. And he just got married about a year ago. He had gone to a village to to fellowship with few other Christians, four or five other Christians, and they were going to have a meal together. And the authorities, they said that he had come here to and they said that he was here to disturb the atmosphere of the village. And so they arrested him. And he said, he asked them, you know, why are you arresting me? I am here just to meet my brothers and my friends. We're just meeting in our house. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not disturbing anybody. But they said, no, we do not want you here, and we're going to arrest you. So they held him in a prison for more than a month. And they said that we will let you go on one condition: if you recant your faith, you give up your faith and say that, you know, I don't want to be a Christian anymore, you can walk free now. He said, no, I don't want to do that. And because of his stubbornness, they kept him there for more than a month. These are things that happen today. In January, we'll pray for this pastor again, during the prayer time. Pastor Wana, he was arrested because he was celebrating Christmas in the village with a few Christian families. So they arrested him and his assistant, Johan. He's still in jail today. His crime? Just because he's celebrating Christmas. He's still in jail today. And I met his wife. His wife said that, you know, my husband is gone, and so there's no one in my family to look after the fields. So our fields are there's no one to tend them. So the crops are all failing. My children, they have not been allowed to go to school. My son and daughter who had a government job, they were dismissed from the job. We don't have any money. We don't have anything. But I am encouraged that, you know, you people outside are caring for us. You're praying for us. And that really encourages me. When I looked at this woman, she had a glow on her face. She'd been through so much, but she still there rejoicing. So very often the religious and political authorities gang up together to arrest Christians. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. Here we find that the religious authorities and the Romans come together to arrest Jesus. And Jesus told you that I am he, verse 8. If therefore you seek me, let these go on their way, that the word might be fulfilled which he spoke: of those of whom you have given me, I lost no one. Verse 10. Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. In the midst of all this tension of arrest and Simon Peter takes the sword and cuts the high priest's ear. And Luke was the only gospel that mentions that Jesus touched the ear and healed it. Imagine, let your imagination run a little wild now. The high priest's servant, this man was a trusted servant. He was somebody who really had the high priest's eyes and ears, and he was there on behalf of the high priest to go and arrest Jesus and bring him back. So in the garden, his ear gets cut off. Jesus touches and heals his ear. His ear is back again. On his clothes, there's blood. He goes back to the high priest, and the high priest says, "What happened in the garden?" He said, "We all went there. We arrested Jesus, and we brought him back, and he's here with us now." And the high priest looks at him and says, "You know, what's all this blood on you?" The slave doesn't know really what to say. He says, "You know, I was there, and then one of the disciples of Jesus took out his sword and he cut my ear." The high priest looks at his ear and says, "Your ear is there. So right, what happened?" He said, "Jesus healed me." Stunned silence. Jesus healed me. You think that had an impact in his life? Absolutely. Jesus, in the midst of his trial, in the midst of arrest, reaches out and touches this man and heals him. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he goes out of his way to care for us. The miracle changed the slave's life? Absolutely, I'm sure it did. Because he won't forget that. His ear was cut off. There was all blood on his clothes, but then his ear is back. He was a disciple? I don't know. I'm sure he must have become a secret disciple and followed Jesus. I am. I am. This morning, let's ask God to give us that I am experience. That we can catch that awesomeness of God. You know, in Isaiah, it talks about Isaiah seeing the Lord and then he falls down on his face and he worships him. It's an experience that we need to seek really, to seek from God, the I am experience. Nothing could stop Jesus going from the cross for us. The 600 Roman soldiers, the people that came from the high priest, nothing could stop it. He willingly went forward and revealed himself. So this morning I want to just challenge you again to think about those. Get out of your comfort zone. Think about those ordinary Christians in North Korea, in Laos, in Burma, in so many countries just around us who today are in very, very difficult circumstances because of their faith. What are we going to do about it? What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to do mercy, and to follow him. To do justice. Timothy, I'm going to come here. Please come up. This is Timothy. You've heard about him. Today, people have come. I want you to imagine that people have come to arrest him. And you are here as witnesses, as Christians. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to stand up and say that I'm going to do something, speak up about him and try and pray for him? Or are you just going to walk away from here and go back to your comfort zone? I want you to think about this. It's something that we really need to do. We can't be comfortable Christians on a Sunday. Every time I go out to one of these countries and I come back sad. Sad because I've met some of these Christians who really have a very, very hard time because of their faith. But encouraged because they still, in spite of all their trials, their problems, they're willing to follow Jesus. You know, some of us, we have problems and we think in our office or whatever, we think we're being persecuted. That's not persecution. That's just the demands of life. Persecution comes when you believe in Jesus and when you're willing to stand up for it. So I again want to ask you, all the soldiers now are going to come and arrest him. What will you do? Will you say that you're going to stand up and speak for him? Will you say you'll pray for him? Or will you just turn your back and walk away? I want to leave you with that.
Amen. Can we get in groups of about three or four? We can just move the chairs around, and we're going to pray together. All right, so go ahead and let's get out of our comfort zones, as Anil so graciously spoke to us about. I'm going to read from Psalm 10, 17. O Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the afflicted. Thou wilt strengthen their heart. Thou wilt incline thine ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed. And so we're going to spend a moment together. We're going to pray for three countries. And let me put the first slide up. The first country that we're going to focus on is North Korea. And there's some facts and figures. Here's some prayer requests. And what I would like you to do, and I mean... You know, I'll say this. If you don't know Jesus and you have no idea what we're doing, just chill, relax, enjoy, right? This is just taking care of family business. Don't worry about anything. You know, you can stare at me for a little while. That's fine. You know, no worries. But if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to get together with some people and we're going to spend some time praying. And, in particular in North Korea, here's some prayer requests. Pray that the enforced idolatry imposed throughout North Korea will be broken. Pray that there will be true religious freedom and that the true God who really reigns in the heavens will be proclaimed as God. For the believers who follow Christ so wholeheartedly in such a spiritually hostile environment, pray that God would uphold them in their faith and give them strength and boldness to continue to adhere faithfully to Him at all costs. Pray that God would protect them and be with them in the fire furnace as He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Pray also for the secret believers in North Korea. It's estimated some figures as high as about 400,000 believers there, that they would grow in their faith and that God would shield them and keep them hidden from those who are against them. Pray also for the growth of the church and that the gospel would spread even in this harsh environment. Pray for those who leave the country to find food and find the true bread of life. Pray for their protection from being detected, their maturity in the faith, and their readiness to return and witness to their countrymen of their newfound faith. And pray for protection, success, and wisdom for all those seeking to bring the gospel to North Korea. And so let's spend a moment. Let's get together. You know, just real simple. You know, just grab someone's hand next to you as we gather together, and let's just pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the Christians. Pray for the government, that God would do something significantly in this situation. You know, and honestly, if you're sitting there and you feel nothing, right, pray and repent and ask God, Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart. I mean, a real simple thing, right? And so let's gather together and let's ask the Lord to move and minister here in North Korea. And so let's pray together. Pray for the thousands that flee North Korea to find food and shelter in China. Ask God to protect them and ask the Lord to bring them into the family of God through some means. Strengthen the missionaries that are in China that are ministering to these people. And let's ask for God's hand to be with them all. Let's now pray for Laos. This is one of the few remaining communist nations in the world. It's also one of East Asia's poorest countries. Let's pray that the church that still faces restrictions and the Christians that still face persecution, let's pray for freedom for evangelism, church planting and building, for the effective use of present freedoms and for changes that will open up Laos for the preaching of the gospel. Rather than retrenching, pray that Christians would reach out, especially to the ethnic minorities. Pray for unity, integrity, and godly leadership in the church. Pray for Pastor Juana that Anil mentioned, arrested and jailed in January of 2011 for celebrating Christmas with other Christians. He's still in prison and he needs immediate medical attention. There's a picture of him on the screen. The authorities continue to offer him the option of renouncing his Christian faith and walking free, but he thankfully still resists. Many Christians have been displaced because of persecution. Pray that they will be strong in their faith. Let's lift up this country. Let's lift up Pastor Juana and many other leaders in this place. Let's pray for Laos. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Myanmar, in Burma. Pray for those who have been displaced inside Burma and who are desperately in need. Pray for the recently displaced refugees on the border with Thailand. Pray for the children who face the worst kind of abuse at the hands of the Burmese army and its allies. Pray for the more than 1,800 political prisoners. Pray for more. For the Buddhist faith is strong in Myanmar. The religion's influence reaches beyond hearts and souls and a source of the country's national pride. Pray for the government. Pray for the voiceless poor who are suffering in this country. And let's pray for Myanmar, for Burma. Lastly, let's just pray for ourselves. I know this may sound like a weird request in the midst of all the persecution, but let's pray for our own hearts. Let's pray that, you know, we're so worried and entangled about things that really don't matter all that much, right? While our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering because they believe in Jesus. This freedom that we have to worship in this room and to sing as loud as we want, you know, we many times take this for granted in the sense that most of you guys come late to church almost every Sunday. You know, I mean, that's not meant to make you feel bad, but this is just a simple reality. In the midst of all this, there's people that are literally dying for the chance that we get every Sunday. You know, and I feel embarrassed myself as a pastor, I feel embarrassed as for my church, you know, for Christians here in Hong Kong, around the world. You know, we definitely do not do enough that we need to do. And in that same way, let's ask God to change our hearts. You know, we're so concerned with handbags and high heels and the cars that we drive. You know, come on, is that all that we're going to be known as the people of God? You know, let's say, hey, there should be something different about us. You know, let's ask God to really change our hearts. Let's pray that we would be concerned with the things that are in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the guy that started World Vision, you know, he said it so eloquently. He said, Lord, break my heart with the things that break your heart. You know, I can't think of anything more close to God's heart and people suffering because they know Him. And so let's just go before the Lord. I mean, honestly, as a church, individually, let's say, God, this is my heart. I'm so concerned about things that really don't matter in the guise of eternity. Lord, change me. Make me concerned. God, make me a person that is worthy to be called a Christian and to care for others who also carry that name. And let's just spend a time together as we close our service and asking the Lord to forgive us for our lack of concern, for our lack of our hearts in this way. Can we do that together? Let's pray together. Pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for awareness, God. We thank you, Lord, for organizations like CSW, the Voice of the Martyrs, God, and people, God, that have committed themselves, God, to be the voice of the voiceless. Lord, we want to number ourselves, God, in that group as well. And so we pray, God, that you would first change us, Lord. God, help us to be, God, an outward-focused Christian, God. Although we don't want to be navel-gazing, Lord, it's just about our lives, just about us, about what we do. Lord, we want to be people that are focused, God, on you, on what you're doing, God. Lord, all in short, Lord, we want to be of the Father's business. And so I pray, God, that you would change us. Change me, God. Change our church, Lord. Change the Christians in Hong Kong, Father. God, that we would be concerned, Lord, and out of that concern, power, God, authority, might, wisdom would flow. God, we thank you for, Lord, days like today, God, that you remind us, Lord God, of what's going on around the world, Lord. God, it's not pretty, Lord, but yet you are Lord, God, and you're doing something. And so help us, God, as the church to arise in this season, Lord, to see your kingdom come in these countries, God, where it is incredibly difficult, God, to proclaim your name. And so be with us, God. Continue to lead us. Lord, help us to, Lord, seek out ways to help those that are displaced, God, refugees. Lord, people all over this world, people here in Hong Kong, Lord, God, that are suffering for your name's sake. We thank you, God. Lord, continue to watch over us the rest of this day. And Lord, I pray that you would plant a seed in our hearts today, God. Lord, that you would cause us to rise up in prayer, God, and in intervention, God, that you would rise us up in giving, Lord, God, to those that are suffering and hurting around the world. We thank you, God. Lord, we bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Why don't you hug someone next to you and say, hey, have a great day today.